This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello and welcome again to the podcast. With it being the international break, we're changing things up a little bit this week. We'll be discussing the main talking points in the Championship and previewing the action in Leagues 1 and 2. And who better to join me and discuss those talking points than Sky Sports EFL presenter David Prusson, alongside former Wolves and Birmingham defender Roger Johnson and Colchester player coach Jamal Campbell-Rice also joins us. David, where else to start than with Cardiff City, though? Neil Warnock is the latest managerial casualty. Quite a heartfelt statement coming out of the club as well this week. Yeah. How important is it that we remember the good he's done at the club, though, in his time in South Wales?
Well, to clarify, it as good. I think it's nothing short of miraculous what he did with that squad, especially when he took it over midway through a season where it was looking a little bit tricky. And he took them over. Second half of the season did very, very well. Then obviously the next season got promoted. It was a phenomenal achievement. We can't undervalue it or underestimate it at all. There's ginormous clubs in that division that have not done what Cardiff have done within the space of the last 3, 4, 5 years. So I think, yes, it's heartfelt, it's emotional, especially given the tragic circumstances of what he had to manage away from the pitch with regards last season. I think he did that with great dignity, grace, honesty, and he really put everything into perspective. And I mean, they were only a win away from actually staying in the Premier League, weren't they? So, yes, I think he perhaps found himself in a position where this season didn't start. I mean, as well as it did in the promotion winning season, I think it's 10 points worse off the out at the same stage at this moment in time. So, it's a phenomenal achievement. It seems like you say, emotional, but perhaps a natural parting of the ways. I think whispers of what he wanted in the summer with regard to getting players in didn't come to fruition, which meant that he had a squad which was very similar to what he had over the past couple of years, trying to do the same thing, which I think would have been very tricky indeed. And you can't underestimate it, and I'm sure Roger will come on to this, you can't underestimate the size of that club. Yes, in British football, but in Wales, there's a commentator friend of mine who's worked in the game for a very long time, did a lot of work back in Cardiff, covering Cardiff, I mean, in the Empire days when they were coming up. And he alludes to the fact that they're very much the Manchester United of Wales, the ginormous. The focus is all on them. And what Neil got from them to get them into Premier League was absolutely amazing. So I think it's a shame that he's gone, because he's a wonderful, wonderful character. And he said at the start of the season this was his last one, but I can't see for a second that he's not going to plot up somewhere else and either help someone get promoted or save somebody from relegation.
Yeah, Roger, we've seen previously teams have struggled when they have been relegated from the Premier League. You've had the experience at Wolves, of course. Is that what we've seen so far this season at Cardiff, or is that a bit, is that overestimating what the problems at the club?
It's a good question. I mean, sometimes you can't legislate for a league position. It's one of them. It's such a hard league. I've said it on the podcast before. So to just assume that you're gonna come down from the Premier League and be straight back up there, it doesn't always work like that. And Cardiff, along with a string of a lot of other clubs who have had that fall in the relegation and they struggle. There's so many good teams in that league, and yeah, touching on how we were as a squad and the managers, tough season to they kept changing the manager, but certainly with the squad we had at Wolves that year, there's no way we should have been in the position we were. But we found ourselves in it, because, I mean, every week is a tough game. Every place you go, home or away, there's not much of an advantage now. The league is so good. I said it, you can't just think you're just going to be straight back up there. So it is disappointing for everyone involved. Certainly after the previous season of being in the Premier League, everyone wants that back immediately, and it doesn't always work that way, I'm afraid.
Jamal, you've talked last week about playing in that seven-side derby, though, as well. Do you think losing in a match, you know, that magnitude, that has maybe emphasised the need for a change, do you think?
I think in a game like that, obviously that team's hugely scrutinised, and obviously the two clubs, they hate each other and all the rest of it. It's almost like brethren rights. So that was probably the added pressure that that Neil Warnock and Cardiff didn't need at that precise time. With the first half of the season, the way it's gone so far, obviously, like Roger said, like coming down from the Premier League last season, and everybody's immediately expecting them to bounce back or be at least showing signs of being in and around it to be challenging. And it just doesn't work like that, unfortunately. And what Neil Warnock done for that club has been nothing short fantastic and all the rest of it. But this season, he just, for some reason or another, hasn't been able to get them going the way that they would like, the direction that they want to be going in. And the board have obviously made a decision to part ways, which is unfortunate because, like David said, he's a fantastic character and he's somebody that you do need in this world of football. He's a fantastic character, and it's just a shame, really.
Yeah, and as David said, a shame if this is his last job as well, to end like that.
I find that I struggle to believe that. I think he loves football too much. He probably just thought to himself he's took Cardiff as far as he can. It's not going well. He's not just quitting. Like Pratt said, and Jamal just both said, what he's done at that club, on and off the pitch, is nothing short of unbelievable. So no, he's certainly seeing back in the game, I'm sure.
Well, you can imagine there'll be a lot of interest come maybe the next international break. David, what should Cardiff though expect now for the rest of the season? Is it about consolidation, or should they, you know, be aiming higher? They're not that far away from, you know, the playoffs places.
No. So it was 7 points off sixth place, and probably seven or eight off the bottom three. So I can't think for a minute whoever comes in would just say, right, the remit's consolidation. I know it's an extremely ambitious hierarchy there, which is over-ambitious the right word? Maybe in a sense, you look at the team that played at the weekend, and if you're looking at what you need to be in the makeup of a team that is going to get promoted, it isn't too much different, as I said, from the team that got them up. But you had a season there where you had Sol Bamba sometimes playing, sitting in front of the back four, very much the heart of the heartbeat of the defence of the side. And he was phenomenal. He had a phenomenal season. He's been missing this season, hasn't he? Are they getting the same out of Junior Hoyland? Maybe they need a little bit more. Tomlin's a player that they are crying out for to be a creative spark, but he doesn't seem to be getting the minutes under his belt at this moment in time. And as for an out-and-out striker that's going to get you a bag full of goals, I think Bogle's still working his way up to being that for them. So I can't think for a second that the powers that be are just saying, yes, let's make sure we're safe. They'll be looking at the top six, especially when you look at the makeup of the top six, which I'm sure we're going to come on to in due course. But the teams above them, I mean, Birmingham, Hull City, Charlton, QPR, Brentford, they're getting all the way up into the top six. There's not many there that you're saying are fundamentally better than Cardiff. And the added bonus is, Cardiff know, and the vast majority of those players know how to get promoted. You can't dial that down. Roger will know that in a sense of getting a team into a position where you are tasting Premier League football and you've managed to do it off your own bats and managed to do it all together, it's a phenomenal achievement. So you can't lose sight of that. I can't think for one second that the people that are in charge there, once you've tasted the Premier League, there's that presumption, as the fellows have been saying, that that should be your first port call. It's a hell of a lot harder than that. Newcastle made it look relatively straightforward. Burnley made it look relatively straightforward. There's plenty of sides that have managed to make the league bounce out and go back in again. But it's not as straightforward as they've made it look. And to get into the top six, I think they've still got to be aiming as a foundation for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Roger, you also had a very successful spell of your career in South Wales, a very passionate fan base, as you know. What does it take to succeed at Cardiff, though?
Well, the first thing Pratt said in this podcast was that they are a humongous club. For me, obviously, I played for them, so I'm not going to side anywhere else other than them. That they are, I believe, the biggest side in Wales. So to make it work there, just work hard, like die for the shirt, want to win every week. I mean, you expect that to be a toller every now and then. Whenever they call it, you've got to do it. it keeps the fans on your side. But it's like any other club, though. That's the minimum you should be doing. Wanting to win, work hard every week. It's a very, I'd like to say, family oriented club. It's not, don't know the word I need, but they're very, like, they'll come up to you, they'll talk to you, they'll praise you. Things are going bad, they'll get behind you. As long as you're doing it and that they can see you're showing it on the pitch, and you give them the time of day, if you ever get caught or out and they want to speak to you. I've always been like that, and I got on great there. I've been back. And won there. I get clapped off the pitch, even I'm at another club, because they appreciate what I did there. And I think that's all you need, just to work hard, and they see that you're working hard, and the fact you want to win every week. And like I said, as soon as they see your name to do the eye title, just make sure you do it, otherwise they boo you.
Top tip there, top tip from Roger. Jamal, word on your former club, Bristol City, as well. In the top six, 3 points off the top two. Do they have what it takes to push on now?
I certainly think they believe so, yeah. Obviously, with Lee Johnson, he's a young, confident and ambitious manager. And obviously, in their last six games, they've only lost one game. So they found themselves in and around it. And I think what's really helped is they got the experience of Ashley Williams back there, steadied the ship immensely at the back. With any team going for promotion, that's what they need. Obviously, they've got Andreas Wyman up front, who's scoring their goals, and they look bright. They've had a great start to the season, great first half of the season, and they'll definitely be brimming with confidence and be thinking, if they can get through the Christmas period and still be in and around it, then why not?
I think there's a good point, mate, Jamal, about the fact that they managed to pick someone up like Ash. Yes, it was a little bit eggy towards the back end of being at Stoke, but my God, there's many players that have been in that position there, and maybe they've turned the corner again. Something we'll come on to in due course, but he's already shown in the short spell that he's been there what he does, isn't he? He's a leader, nicks the odd goal, leads from the back, is very vocal, keeps things extremely simple, but very good on the ball. And just maybe it's the type of thing that helps Lee and his young side, as you say, with him being a young manager, that gets them somewhere perhaps they've only really dreamt of.
100%. I think that word experience, I just don't think you can buy it, you know? Somebody like that, of somebody of that magnitude, obviously he's a full international, world played umpteen games. And it's only helping that young squad, because they are a young squad, and it's a squad that he's put together, because it's like every season he loses his best players. But bringing somebody in like Ashley Williams has been nothing but, it's been fantastic for him. So obviously where they are now, everybody will be thinking, yeah, and be talking, because I know what it's like at Bristol. Everybody will see you there doing well and be thinking in and around the city, are, we can do this, we can do that. But Ashley Williams and Lee Johnson, they'll just be telling the squad just to calm down and take each game as it comes. And I think that's so invaluable.
You have certainly been knocking on the door of those playoff spots for the last few seasons. David, looking at the table in general, tight at the top, of course, is it what you expected to see at the start of the season, or did you think we'd have a few teams, you know, going clear by now?
I think West Brom and Leeds are teams that you would have had that in discussion. I wouldn't have had Preston in an automatic promotion spot. Perhaps Swansea as well, I think, when you looked at McBurney and James going out the door for the money that they went, and the fact that there was a change of manager as well, I think we were perhaps asking questions. I mean, Preston have been phenomenal. We've mentioned it over the past couple of seasons about them kind of bubbling under in and around the bottom end of the playoffs. Maybe them selling themselves short with regard to the ambition of where they want to go. But having seen them in the flesh a few times this season, I mean, they're a hell of a good football team. There's players there that have been at bigger clubs and come out of bigger clubs. There's lads that have picked around perhaps the lower leagues, and they've got some exceptional technically talented footballers. Ben Pearson, we know, loves a yellow card. He's going to get all over the pitch. He's going to rat around. He's a very good pass for the ball. Brown, I mean, Gallagher's been there, done it. He knows how to lead a football team. Dan Johnson, obviously, has been struggling with injury in recent weeks, but they've got so many technically very good players that you can't dismiss what they've done so far. I was speaking to Alex Neil the other week, and he was talking about getting promoted. Doesn't need the best squad, it needs the best team, which I thought was quite a pertinent thing to say, because he's absolutely right. Obviously, that best team is at the very mercy of form and fitness and suspensions. You get 2-3 of your key players out for extended periods of times, and your squad's not deep enough, that's when you're going to struggle. But as we've seen teams that take the Wolves side, for example, minimal changes over the course of a very long and arduous season, that can get you into the Premier League. So I think they've done fantastic well. West Brom have been extremely entertaining, and I've enjoyed Slaven's take on it of, yeah, it'd be nice if we didn't concede as many goals, but we seem to score them pretty well. So, you know what I mean? Roger might go against that because I know that defenders absolutely adore a clean sheet, but his take on it is, Slaven's take on it has been, well, sometimes we've bet teams and we've always managed to come back and either salvage a point or go on to get all three. There's part of me that thinks there's that hasn't got legs over the course of the season, but we'll soon see. I mean, Swansea, fantastic leads. Yes, perennial favourites. They've got to deal with the wet-if expectation. And Forest is a nice little one. 20 years outside of the top flight, a nice mixture of the cosmopolitan, the exotic, young, homegrown, and also the old stager coming back in Michael Dawson. Seems to be working at this moment in time, but it's such a clutch of teams down to probably about 10th or maybe 11th way looking at Charlton Hull City that it's been refreshing in a way that no one's run away with it, because that means that over the course of Christmas, we'll see what the mettle of all these teams are, see who comes out into the new year in good health and in good form.
Yeah, certainly hard to call so far. Who surprised you most out of the teams that are up there, though, Roger? As David says, Preston seem to be getting a lot of the plaudits for the way they've started the season, of course.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue with the plaudits they're getting. Probably weren't many people's favourites to do as well as they have done so far. Personally, I watched a lot of the start of the season. I am actually quite surprised West Brom are where they are. But fair play to them, they are top of the league and haven't run away with it yet, but certainly they're on merit. Like Pat said, I'd like them to concede a few less goals. But I think if they can do that, then they'll be a very, very hard side to get off the top of the league. But Forest probably surprised me a little bit being there. Bristol City, I thought, he's been there or thereabouts. He's been there a long time, Johnston. So for them, I hope he finally can have a crack at it, push his way up the league and maybe get to the autos, but certainly the playoffs. But it's so wide open. Like Pratt said, they're all the way down to Charlton, even Hull. So, I mean, it's so close when you look at it. Just to them at that sixth spot, Bristol City sat on 28 and all the way down to 13th is on 22. So that's a week's football with the Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. If there's a midweek game, it only takes results to go your way and you just go on a little run. That's all it is in the Championship for me. If you can put a string of 10 results together, wherever you are in the league, you'll find yourself there or thereabouts with the playoff situation. So yeah, certainly going to be an interesting one. Looking forward to seeing how it all ends up.
Yeah, Jamal, after this international break, games come thick and fast, of course, towards Christmas. Is this the first marker of the season, do you think, knowing that hectic schedule that's about to come up?
Yeah, 100%. Teams will, at the start of the season, they'll be like, let's get to Christmas and see where we are. We can go again from there. So Roger just touched on going on a run, and I think that Christmas period is absolutely vital. You know, if you want to really, really do things and stand up and be counted for, the Christmas period is absolutely perfect for it. Like, the games are really ticking fast, and you can find yourself mid-table and then jumping up into the promotion positions. So yeah, I think it's massive, and that Christmas period, I think that's when everybody will be looking to use their whole squad, because the games come so thick and fast, and the injuries and all the rest of it. And sometimes it's like, who can come out the other side for the Christmas period, having a good period, and then they just go on from there.
Yeah, David, at the bottom, things look tight as well. Different approaches taken by clubs as well in dealing with those situations. Some opting to change their managers, others sticking to their guns. Is there a right approach for clubs in those situations?
Well, the proof of that comes at the end of the season. If you're under the dotted line and you made a change, it was the wrong decision. If you're over the dotted line and you made a change, it was the right decision. I think Barnsley, at the very foot of it, what Daniel Stendel did last season was fantastic. A style of football that Barnsley fans knew and loved. I think we might have mentioned it on the pod before about one of the only managers that gets sacked and gets a party thrown for them by the fans because they appreciate exactly what he did and how much they loved him, which is just bizarre. So that hasn't worked at this moment in time. Stoke has been in charge for one game. They scored four. If first time they've scored more than two goals in nearly 90 football matches. So it's had a, my funny little has had an obvious instant impact, and I'm sure the lads will back me up being cynical or footballers that it's amazing that extra yard that you find when suddenly a new pair of eyes is watching you. Yeah. Oh, I can't make that 100%. And you've got to come out and prove it. Middlesbrough, they've committed to what Jonathan Woodgate wanted to do in the course of the season. So through thick and thin, I think for the time, they've got to stick with what he wants to do. Luton Town is another team that changed with Graham Jones coming in. Paul Cook, you feel is part of the furniture at Wigan, and the only reason he'll move on from then is to get a job that's further up the division. And if you go all the way up to Huddersfield and what the Cowleys have done, the proof of the pudding for them has been in the results. They've been fantastic. Okay, he gets manager of the month, and quite obviously that is when the defeat follows. That's just the way it goes, so you might want to stay away from that. But I think it only really proves itself over the course of how the rest of the season panned out and where you end up. The decision that they make at that specific period in time has to be the right decision, otherwise wouldn't have made it. But I think the one that threw us most, I mean, for Nathan and Stoke, I have got a lot of time for that man, as both as a person and as a football manager. And you could see it. I mean, we discussed it, the timing of it from when we chatted about it last time when Roger's on with Don, when
he was set 5 minutes after, didn't he?
That was a ridiculous thing. We'd seen that coming for what, 3-4 months, maybe even longer than that. And the fact that they'd left it all that week until the game a couple of days later, I mean, maybe they'd sounded out Michael O'Neill, I don't know. But that was the one where you thought he'd been hanging on for a while. But with Barnsley, that short termism of well done for rearranging the club and getting us back into the division. Now, a few games into it, see you later. I mean, they've not won, obviously, since the opening day of the season, which was a terrific victory against Fulham. But what do you expect from the next manager? Yes, it's consolidation. Then where then it just becomes a repetitive cycle of hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. He felt with Stendhal, they were going to actually build something. He got jettisoned after half the team had got jettisoned as well in the summer. So whether I think one's the right option or not, I honestly don't know. Sometimes it works. Huddersfield seems to be working at this moment in time. Barnsley, it's not worked at this moment in time. It's toss of a coin, and it always does boil down to what the playing staff can do and is willing to do for whoever's in charge.
Yeah, I think I've given you an impossible question there to answer.
no change then.
No, exactly. I like to challenge the Paxman style of EFL podcast.
Easier, right?
Well, it's coming up now, Roger. Some of the more traditional, perceived bigger names down there, as well as David mentions, the likes of Stoke and Middlesbrough. Is it always harder when you're one of those teams, playing for one of those teams, because of that expectation from the supporters?
Well, it depends how long the run goes on for. Yes, you're at a big club, and generally they've got the better players. They should have, certainly the ones that have just come down. But when the fans get on you, and I've done many talks on this, and I reverted to Wolves, the side we had, and we just expected, you will be all right, and it doesn't work. Then the fans sort of get on your back, and it does get increasingly harder. So the longer you go without a win and performing and stringing a few results together, that the pressure builds massively, because you are at a big club, but as footballers, depends on the individual. I believe you should embrace that. You're at that big club for a reason, so show why you're at that big club. I am surprised with the amount of quality that is down there, but that's the Championship, I'm afraid. Like you said, perhaps I said there, the Stokes, yeah, we've talked that over and over, so hopefully that they can get themselves out of it. A good first result for him, so let's hope that carries on. But even big, massive names like Blackburn, the ones we haven't spoke about, the Derbies, who have been in and around it the last few seasons. Cardiff just come down, sat mid-table. It is just a horrible, horrible league when you look at it. It's just every club in it is a huge club. Certainly the ones that were expected at the start of the season, i.e. your middles. But I feel for Woodgate, because he's gone in there and he's trying to get his game model across. And like Pratt said, they're sticking with it. So maybe that's just stay in the league for the season and rebuild and make everyone understand what his philosophies are. So maybe that could be one for next season. There are certainly some big teams down there, and original question was, is it hard? Yes, it is hard, because like I said, the longer that run goes on and you're not picking up results and you're losing and you're losing and you draw and you lose, you just die for that win, and then string a few wins together, you find yourself out of it. But the longer that goes on, the harder it is, I'm afraid.
Jamal, your former team, Barnsley, one of those teams searching for a new manager as well, as David mentioned earlier on. How important is it that they make a decision on who's going to be in place now before they've completely been cut adrift at the bottom?
Yeah, I think it's massive that they try and get somebody in ASAP, really, because even from when I was there all those years ago in the champ, like, was always punching way above my station. And I don't think it's any different now. They're probably the smallest club in the league, with all due respect, and can't compete with the bigger sides and all the rest of it financially, and attracting players and all the rest of it. So it is difficult for them, you know. Yeah, they've had a very, very tough start. Like the boys said, they haven't picked up a win since the opening game of the season. And they need to get the right man in. They're conceding too many goals. So they just need to get that ship steadied as quick as possible and then just give themselves a chance, because if not, then like you said, they're just going to find themselves like miles and miles apart away from the pack, and just gets harder and harder as each game comes along.
It certainly looked to be in a difficult position, Barnsley. Moving on to focus on Skybet League One now, though, and let's look at the game you'll be covering rather on Sunday, David. Tranmere taking on Wickham. The visitors, obviously the surprise package this season, joint top of the table. Gareth Ainsworth previously played down their chances of promotion. Should he be, you know, looking at the way things are now?
He does it because that's exactly what Gareth's like, and I understand why, because he knows what that club is, where that club's come from. What they've managed to do with the resources that they've had, really kind of stretch themselves as much as they possibly could. And again, it's another man performing miracles with a club. I mean, with the greatest respect, Wickham knocking on the door of the Championship, that's phenomenal. What he's done with the players that he's got, the mixture of good loan signings, of the experience at the very top, but you don't get much more experience, and you don't get much more emphatic than the beast here leading the line. So I think what he's managed to do, and he seems to be a real totem for what Wickham is, a team that takes each challenge on the chin and comes back asking for more, and he's done exactly that with them. The thing that you would look at from Gareth's point of view and from Wickham's point of view, and this is not me trying to force him out the door, the big challenge for them, yes, promotion is a huge challenge, one that's just as big and really reflects, or could reflect, on how their immediate future turns out, is keeping all of them, because every single job that comes up in the Championship, his name gets thrown into the mix, and quite rightly so, because he's shown that he can work within a framework which has got constraints to a certain degree, within a budget, being able to develop players, managers from teams in the league enjoy sending players down to Gareth because they know exactly what they're going to get from him. And I think, yes, he's going to play it down because that's what a manager should do in that instance. Yes, he's up level pegging with an Ipswich side that, as we well know, has conquered European football. So, I mean, the contrast between them is vast, is understandable, is staggering, really. But what he's done, again, is fantastic. And he understands that he'll be judged now that he's in that position, whether he actually gets them over the line. And I think, without sounding biased or anything like that at all, I think the job he's done so far would be very deserving of a promotion. But he knows that he's only, just over a third of the way through, and there's a hell of a long way to go.
Are you surprised, though, David, that you mentioned there the interest in him, but the fact that there hasn't been a club who's giving him a concrete offer to move up the leagues? Are you surprised that that hasn't been there? Because based on what he's done, like you said, EFL's longest serving manager, promotion to League One, fighting for promotion again, it's surprising to see he's not being offered a Championship job.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think if you look at perhaps what the Cowleys have done, going from non-league, going from PE teachers all the way up into the Championship, then as a comparison, then yes, you could say that you are surprised. There's certain managers that slipped through the net. Chris Wilder is the man that's done it and kind of gone about it in a very different way, but he's so very authentic in the way that he's done it that he's earned his place at the top table and is quite rightly showing at this point in time that he deserves it because of how he plays football, how he sets teams up, and how he gets players playing for him. So I think whether there's a perception element of it, I would maybe think so. They might look at what he's done with the great respect, little old Wickham, but he's done it and he's enjoyed it. And I know that 99% of the players that played underneath him, I mean, you're not going to get a blanket across the board of everyone liking it, but it seems the vast majority of players that have come under his tutelage have thoroughly enjoyed it, thoroughly respected him, and had a very productive time in their career. So I am surprised, but also not surprised in the sense that sometimes managers' journeys further up the division take a roundabout way and not necessarily a straight line. And he's, if he does get them into the Championship, again, nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah, Roger, as well as that, there's obviously this takeover that's gone through for Wickham. So investment could be coming in January in terms of the playing budget. How much do clubs need that when they are in, I know Gareth Ainsworth probably doesn't want them saying this, but when they are in a promotion battle?
It's humongous. I mean, I started out Wickham, that's where I did my apprenticeship. I'm so, so pleased for them. Like Prats has said there, that where they come from where was I? It was 99 I made my debut. So back then, with Laurie Sanchez as my manager, from where the club's come from to where they've got to now, it's amazing to see. But the backing, if they're gonna get that on top of where they are sat in the league at the moment, they should stand every chance. I just hope they can get through the Christmas period. We touched on it earlier in the show. That is a tough period. And if they can just hang around in there, I mean, they pulled away from third. So if they can go on a good run now and just stick in with Ipswich up in the top two, they've got a hell of a chance, and especially with the takeover as well. And he seems to know what he's doing. He's been there a long time. Probably does deserve another job. I just sometimes hope he's not just sat there because he knows it that well. He's been there absolutely years. And does he want to step out of that and test himself? I think he should, because the proof's in the pudding. He's had promotions. He seems to know what he's doing with what he's had to deal with financially, with on pitch, the players he's allowed to bring in, budgets and all that. Certainly with the takeover now, the sky's the limit. So if they can stay up there this season, it'd be unbelievable, because it is really little old Wickham, like Pratt said there. It's never been a humongous club, so to be punching in that league and to be on the verge of being in the Championship, I mean, you just, it's unbelievable even thinking about it. So fingers crossed. I always look out for the results, and hopefully they can keep in there and get over the line.
Jamal, does it make it easier sometimes being one of the so-called smaller teams? David and Roger have touched it there, Little or Wickham. When you're in that promotion battle, a lot less pressure on them compared to the likes of Sunderland and Ipswich, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody would have thought. I think the lads have touched on it there. I feel like I'm echoing them a little bit, and they're absolutely spot on. Nobody would have thought at the start of the season Wickham would be doing what they're doing right now. And I think everybody down there at the club would have been thinking at the start of the season, let's consolidate ourselves in League One. Like, let's survive and then try and build from there. Now you turn around and you see what they're doing, and obviously, with the talk of the takeover and all the rest of it, they're probably actually saying, like, what is it that we can actually do this season? Because, like the lads just said there, it's absolutely phenomenal what they're doing. And rightly so, Gareth Ainsworth probably being touted by bigger and better clubs. Does he want to move on? Because it almost seemed like it's a job that's not finished yet at Wickham, giving himself an unbelievable chance there to... For them and the players, it would be something unbelievable if they could.
David, and for the home side, their main objective seemed to be, you know, staying up in the league. It's worth mentioning how well Mickey Mellon has done to get them in the position they're in now. 2 years ago in the National League, of course.
Yeah, I think he's done a fantastic job. And speaking to him at the back end of the last season, very low key. I remember chatting to him when he was at Shrewsbury as well. Just a very straightforward, honest manager, which I know they sound like very common sense traits to have in someone that's leading the football team, but it's reflected in how he's managed to set the team up and how he's managed to get that side promoted. I think not only from Tranmere's point of view, there's an era of consolidation and results over the past couple of months have seen them not pull clear away from the bottom, but steadily, because a lot of the time it was them and AFC Wimbledon duking out for that final spot in the relegation places, and they've just managed to just gain themselves a little bit of breathing space. I mean, it'll be sorely tested at the weekend against Wickham, but not only have you got a team that wants to consolidate and prove itself at this level, so is Mickey. You look at the teams that it's managed, the leagues that it's managed in, and you're not telling me there isn't an ambitious manager there that wants to prove himself at League One and above. I'm sure he's part of a club that, as we've seen, has managed to fall completely out of the system altogether and then get their way back into it, and wants to take them to a position where they've experienced before. So I think the way he's gone about it, as I said, understated, knows exactly what he's got with the playing staff that he can trust. And you're quite right, Ben, anything above the dotted line for them as a team back in this division is an absolute success.
Yeah, Roger, I've spoken a lot about him before on the podcast, but James Norwood going to Ipswich was a massive loss for Tranmere in the summer. How difficult is it losing what was one of the best goal scorers in England last year?
It is hard. I mean, I've been there myself. You've got a player there that's going to bang that many goals in for you and end up losing him. Yeah, you think, well, where are the goals going to come from now? So it is hard. But he's deserved that. I'm pretty sure he got League Two Player of the Year. So he deserved his move. But then that just opens the door up for other players to think, okay, well, he was the main man. Now it's time for me to step up. I mean, they're sharing the goals out with Payne, I think, four, and Banks and Murphy with three apiece. And they're doing all right. Of late, the results have been okay. They've pulled away, like Pratt says, a little bit. Certainly losing your main striker. No one likes to lose your main striker. But like I said, it just opens up doors for the other lads there to prove that they can cut it. But yeah, I'll step into his shoes and I'll try and fill them. But like I said, they're sharing the goals out and they're not drastically in danger. They pull themselves out with some good results of late. So yeah, hopefully they can stay out of it.
Well, Wickham are unbeaten in the last eight league games, so they'll be looking to continue that form at Prenton Park, of course. Jamal, let's move on to our featured match in Skybet League 2. High-flying Forest Green taking on Plymouth. Your side Colchester lost 1-0 against Forest Green earlier this season. Just tell us what they've got which makes them so special, top of the league, of course.
I think, Ben, the way they play football, the way they want to play football, the way Mark Cooper has got them passing the ball and moving, they've got fantastic rotation. Everybody wants to take the ball. Everyone wants to get on the ball. And you know, they remind me a little bit of Doncaster from a few seasons back when they got promotion. And they played that exact same way. They wanted to pop teams off the park. And I think Forest Green, they've done that for the last few years now and not quite got over the line. But I think this is the year where he's really got them ticking. And like they're actually an absolute joy to watch. So, yeah, like they're sitting obviously at the top of the table now. Confidence is sky high and that's where they want to be. And credit to them, especially Mark Cooper, got them playing in the right way and doing that and getting success from it. Obviously, it just breeds confidence.
David, you of course covered Forest Green's playoff semi-final defeat to Tranmere last season. How much character have you know, Mark Cooper's side shown to come back from that quite a traumatic defeat as well in those circumstances?
It was, and the diversity of emotions was there for all to see, wasn't it? It was a wonderful couple against Tranmere. It wasn't such a wonderful couple against the Forest Green. So I think to get the bit between the teeth, I think that we're going to try and do it a little bit more straightforwardly this season. I'm not saying that would have been the secret chat in the dressing room at the start of the season, but I think teams that have the character to be able to go, as it looks at this moment in time, to go one step ahead of where they went last year, it's phenomenal, really. And again, I think we've spoken about Wickham in the early part of this. We spoke about Cardiff at the very top about teams that the presumption of where they should be, and there's the expectation levels vary from club to club. But for Forest Green to be in League One would be a tremendous achievement. I think that the owner would talk about that in a different way. He's a very confident, composed, ambitious man, which I think is great for that particular club, and especially where it is geographically, nestled into one of the most picturesque places in the country, but no less ambitious than the teams in and around it. is a phenomenal reflection on where it wants to go. And in a manager such as Mark, I think they've got the ideal man in position, likes to play football in a way that's very pleasing on the eye. Being able to use the low market with the likes of Jack Etchison coming in is, again, testament to the people that it's got from a recruitment point of view. And if they end up at the top of the league, if they end up in League One next season, again, you've always got to preempt what you're going to say with regard to clubs, and hopefully you say it in the most respectful way. But Forest Green is a League One club. Unbelievable achievement, if that how it turns out.
Looking at Plymouth, though, Roger, they were many people's favourites for promotion at the start of the season, but languishing in mid-table. Do you think the pressure is already starting to grow on Ryan Lowe a bit?
Probably a bit early to say that the pressure is too much. Given their results of late, they've not been overly bad. They've won a few, drawn one, and I think lost one. So it's not that bad. Push the panic button just yet. I mean, he's clearly got promoted at the last season with Bury. I believe he's a good manager. I've heard lots of things about him. He took a lot of players from Bury with him that he thought could do a job there. Too early, I'd say, for the panic button to be pushed. As I said, the results haven't been that bad. League table-wise, it's not that bad either. They're not a million miles away. They're not cut adrift. So, no, I'd say stick with it because does do my head in a little bit when people do push the panic button and sack managers. Well, where do you go from there? Who do you bring in? Are they going to get the better out of the players? Because all managers need a little bedding in period. Have they got time for that? Probably not. I mean, he's a good manager. So I'd say, for me, stick with it and grind away. That's what football's about.
I'm, of course, playing devil's advocate a bit there as well. Jamal, though, and there are only 7 points off the top two as well, we should be mentioning, and 4 points off the playoffs. We talked about the importance of staying in touch going into Christmas last week. Is that the case here at Plymouth, do you think?
Yeah, I think touching on what Roger just said there, I think it's crazy that people even talk about him being under pressure. Like, obviously, he's just come in this season with a new squad and the players that he brought in after what he'd done last season at Bury. We all know the strains and struggles that he went through at Bury last year. I think he's doing fine. I think they're in a very good position. They're in touching distance of both the playoff spots and the automatic spots. So I don't see what the problem is. We've not even got to Christmas yet. And like we said, couple of good results, and you find yourself really in and amongst it. Definitely no reason to panic just yet. And again, another manager that's got his team playing the right way, probably still needs to find his best 11 and all the rest of it. But he's probably got arguably the best player in the league in Danny Meyer. And he can cut any defence up open at any time. So once he starts ticking in and really getting into form, I think,
they've got a game in hand with the five teams above them. If they win their game in hand, they're 1 point off the playoffs.
This is what I mean.
It's crazy to even think that the pressure's on him. It's madness.
They'll 100% be there or thereabout come the end of the season.
Well, if you're looking for a weakness from this Plymouth side, they've conceded 7 headed goals so far this season, more than any other team in Sky Bet League 2. So no doubt Mark Cooper will be encouraging his side to get crosses in the box. Guys, once again, thanks for your time this week and have a great weekend.
Brilliant. It's been an absolute pleasure, Ben, as ever.
Yeah, as always.
The official EFL podcast. The best reaction to all the match action. Available every week.